Metro in the morning. This your man DJ Metro hanging out with Jay Blaze. Yes, yeah. What's going down, sir?
You know, got started.
Just go on, crank it on up. You know.
All right.
So let's just go on, get into it on this lovely day.
What's happening, man? How you doing today?
You know, I worked a little late last night. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, so working on this film thing. You know, so
I
we had a
wait to get into the go ahead.
Yeah. So we had a producers meeting last night.
Oh, a producers meeting.
Yeah. Look at that. You're funny. So we had maybe I would say 20 people on a Zoom call.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. From here to Detroit to Cali.
Okay. You know. Okay. So that sounds good.
Yeah. It was real good.
All right. So for the people that haven't heard about the movie, why don't you just give them a little bit.
Well, you know, it's a redemption movie, you know, but the movie is called Leo.
Okay.
So it's about a guy who hangs around with his crew.
His crew.
His thug crew.
Okay.
Gets
we,
in trouble.
We gangsta, we thug.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gets in trouble.
Oops.
Ultimately ends up in the big house.
Ah.
Stays there for 5 years or so. Gets out, tries to redeem himself by changing his ways or what have you.
Okay.
But through that process, you know, the old friends come back up.
There's a path that has to be traveled.
Yeah. So they come back around. They try to get him back entangled into that web that he got out of due to being caught up.
Now, this will be, and correct me if I'm wrong, a Grand Rapids-based film.
Correct.
Yeah?
Correct.
Yeah?
Yes.
One more time, yeah?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned Los Angeles and some of these other major cities that people were connected to the Zoom call.
Uh-huh.
Are we getting closer to landing some of the people or connecting to some of the people that you know?
Well, you know, as of right now, we have
Mark John Jeffries.
Out of New York.
Okay.
You know, so he played opposite of Halle Berry in Raising Isaiah. He played in 50 Cent.
That's Lil Isaiah.
Yeah.
And then he was Lil C's.
Yeah, Lil C's.
Lil C's and Lil Isaiah from the movie. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I'm excited. I like Lil Isaiah.
Play in Get Rich or Die Trying.
Get Rich or Die Trying. He was Lil C's, right?
And he played in Power.
Power.
Yeah.
Power?
Q-Dub. Yeah, he played. Now, he played in Power. You have to see. You got to look him up.
It was probably first season. Okay. I done seen all of them. All right. Okay.
So that's one of the actors that's going on. Then we also have.
Look at Lil Isaiah. Look at him. He done growed up.
We also have Omar Gooding.
Omar Gooding.
Who's going to be in the film, which is Cuba Gooding's younger brother.
Cuba's brother.
Yeah. And he's been in TV.
Baby Boy. You know.
All kind of things.
Yeah,
that's,
a lot of stuff. He's sister back in the day.
Right. TV show.
Yeah. It wasn't sister. It was a Jason Weaver show.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Shout out to Omar Gooding. So y'all pulling it together, and it sounds like this Grand Rapids based production has the potential to hit on a major level.
Yes, it does. Yes. It does. So you know,
I worked real hard at trying to be cool just so y'all know that if you know.
Yeah, so that's one of my many projects that keeps me up late, you know, working some days or what have you. So but I'm excited about it.
Man, I'm excited about it.
Yeah. So
you know, I told you, and we talked about this. I'm waiting for my cameo option. I want to, I sell some popsicles on it. I don't know. Just put me in a movie, man. I skipped out one other time.
Uh-huh.
There was a movie that was being shot in Pontiac, Michigan, about 6-7 years ago, and I was connected to some of the people that some of the actors in the movie.
Uh huh.
And dude told me, bro, hey, just come down. I'll find something for you. If you want to be in a movie, I got you. I was like, okay, I got you. When? He said, come down Thursday.
You came down Thursday?
No.
So you missed that boat.
I missed it.
Okay.
So it's my opportunity.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I could act a little bit too.
Well,
I'm a little different anyway. So, tell me what you need, boss.
So I'm gonna try to get us a little. If we can't get a visual cameo, maybe we can get an audio.
Yeah,
cameo going in
the morning
while they driving down the street in the car. You know,
that'd be smart.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
something like that. So,
okay.
Yeah, so that was my day. That was my evening last night.
Yeah. Well, on my side, we're preparing for the opening or the reopening of schools.
Correct.
So on the 19th, at the school that I'm connected to, We got kids coming back to the building.
Right.
And I think it'll be fine. We'll see. But yeah. They need it. They need to be in school. They need to be with their teachers. They need to be out of the home environment.
Right. Yeah, I think it's going to be an adjustment.
Because
they've been out for so long.
Ah, we coming back from summer vacation again. Right. And that's a long summer vacation. For the second or third time. We stopped in March. We went back in August. We stopped again in September, October. And we going back.
Right.
Yeah. We got it. Yeah. We're learning how to just sit at the crib and eat chips all day is what's happening.
But, you know,
shout out to the gym teachers. Hey, get y'all stuff together because y'all got some work. Did you hear the K?
That is funny.
Y'all got work.
They got work to do.
To do. These little chubby babies.
That is too funny.
All right. That's all I got for
But, you know, being online has made you think a lot differently. As far as opportunities are concerned,
from the man.
Yeah. I mean, it's you think differently now. Just think, Zoom is just like an everyday thing now.
Yeah.
When 6 months ago,
how long did it take you to get me to take a picture? Now I got to sit up on how many Zoom calls in a week?
Right.
Like, yeah, it definitely takes you out of your element, changes the way that you think.
Yeah.
But it opens up new opportunities because we're operating from a different platform that we weren't operating from. 2 years or a year ago.
Uh-huh. So, you know, and it kind of almost puts a lot of people into the mode of, I'm not going back to work. You know what I mean? Or now the focus is a lot of companies are shifting to more employees being at home.
It saves money.
Doing some things.
You get rid of that building, that mortgage on that building, and cut down on the light and heat bill because you can only, I mean, you only got to operate it 2-3 days out the week.
Right.
I mean, you know, yeah.
I don't know.
No, you do. You do. We all know.
Well, I'm working my way out of something, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Hey, we got to get to the gym more, man.
To the
who? 2021. We got to get to the gym.
Oh, yeah, to the gym.
And it's
well, you know what? I did get me a pair of workout shoes. So I'm ready. Yep, you said to the gym, right? So I had to get a fresh pair of shoes to get that good cushion.
I thought you was going to go in a different direction.
Nah, I wasn't going
nowhere.
Honestly
thought you was going to go in the direction of saying you got connected to a gym, but you started out with the shoes.
I started off with the shoes,
hey,
man.
Hey, look, it's all about the thought process.
You got to have the shoes to get started.
No, it's not the shoes. It's the thought. If you got the thought to get the shoes, then at some point, you're going to put those shoes on and add some shorts to it. Now, it might be a couple different phases. But once you get the whole fit,
once you get the whole hookup,
you're ready to go to the gym. It might take a couple few years.
It might. But I don't think it'll take that long.
I appreciate the thought. I'm glad. I hope not.
It's the thought.
You got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Baby steps.
So, Metro of the Morning right here. Hey, good talking with you guys. We having fun this morning. Yeah. Once we get back from the break, we're going to bring in Miss Corliss Nichols, she's going to talk to us about domestic violence, domestic abuse,
yes,
things of that nature. So we are looking forward to having that conversation with her.
So, yeah, turn the radios up, get some coffee, sit back, because we like Metro said, we're going to have a very in-depth, don't want to get too intense because it's early. And we got to make it through the day. But we're going to have a very serious conversation about domestic violence coming up right here. This is Metro in the Morning with Jay Blaze, DJ Metro.
Yeah. Come on.
Fascinating, yet mysterious, so captivating. I'm just curious, is heaven missing you? 'Cause Lord knows when you're gone, I do. So when you get home, girl,
when you get home tonight, here's what I'd like to do. Start in the shower, massage your
single day. Tell me, who loves you, baby, more than I do? Maybe God above. And who take good care of you when you're lonely? You're my tender love. Oh, girl.
When you get home tonight, here's what I'd like to do. Start in the shower, massage you to your.
Blaze,
we back.
All right, as promised, once we come back from the break, and we are now back from the break, and we have Miss Corliss Nichols here, who is going to talk to us a little bit about domestic violence and things of that nature. Miss Corliss, how are you?
I'm great.
Great, good deal. Tell the people a little bit about yourself.
I'm originally from Benton Harbor, moved to Grand Rapids back in 2019, so I haven't been here too long.
Okay.
I recently decided to share my story about domestic violence and kind of come out publicly. So I'm here now, and I've decided to advocate for those that are afraid to speak up for themselves and decide to put my running shoes on and go for it.
Put on the running shoes and go for it. Okay.
All right, Corliss. Can I call you Corliss?
Yes, that's
okay,
fine.
Okay, Corliss. So, what pushed you? Because I know when you're dealing with, and I won't even make it specific to domestic violence, but when you're dealing with secrets, there has to be a catalyst to get you to the point of being able to share your what you went through for the sake of other people. Not for you.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you get to the point of just saying, look, I'm going to share my story, and we're going to talk about some of the other things that you're doing, but I'm going to share my story because it's time. What was it that made you get to that point?
For me, it came a point when all of the things that I was harboring and holding on to became just too much. So when I say that, I mean bitterness, hatred, you know, betrayal, all those things became too heavy to carry around, and I had to let them go. So once I decided to let all those things go and I became confident in being able to share my story, I wanted to be the voice for others to share theirs.
Okay. So can you tell me a little bit about your story?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in a household, both parents, and we attended the church all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom and dad actually served in the church. So my mom was in the choir, clean the church. My dad was a deacon, drove the church bus. Anything you needed them to do, they were there to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the longest time, no one ever knew that when we left church, there was a totally different side to my dad.
Okay.
So it was almost like, you know, you had this ideal model family, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
and it was a perfect picture painted.
Oh, wow.
But no one ever knew what really went on behind those closed doors after church was over.
Okay. So it sounds like certain behaviors were modeled for you early.
Right.
You experienced mm-hmm. a lot of things early. For you, how did that fall into, or not fall into, how did you end up kind of mirroring mm-hmm. those same behaviors and that same model?
I actually, so once I got to a point that I was actually dating myself, I actually ended up dating a guy that was, I would say, was similar to my dad.
Okay.
And I actually, for the longest time, well, now that I think back, I say, well, you know what? I did what I saw modeled. And I felt like those things were okay. And so I got to a point and said, well, wait a minute, nothing about this feels good. Like, this is not okay. And so, like I said, what I saw modeled at home was what I thought was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And even I actually have two younger sisters as well, so they have their own stories that they probably will never share, but we all kind of fell into those same traps of dating and modeling those same behaviors that we saw at home for the longest time.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, because that's, you know, that's one thing you find out in families and generations. What they see growing up or what they experience, they also look for it
absolutely.
Outside of the home as mm-hmm. well. Wow. Okay. Okay. So once you left home or what have you, moved to Minnesota, mm-hmm. you know, give me some background about what took place there.
Okay. So actually, I would say this was before I actually left to move to Minnesota. So like I said, okay. I grew up watching my dad fight my mom all the time. Actually, my daughter's father was the one that I had issues with when okay. I experienced domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
We dated actually starting off in high school. And it wasn't as bad in the beginning, but it was those little things here and there. You know, jealousy, just it might be a slap here and there. So I'm just thinking, okay, it's just at the time minor things. You know, I can kind of overlook those things. It just happened one time. It won't happen again. But as time went on, it got worse.
Mm.
And it got to the point where he finally told me one day that if he could kill me and get away with it, he would.
Mm.
And now keep in mind, my mom never knew. I never shared what we went through. So no one ever knew what we went through at all.
Wow.
Until after the fact.
Okay. So I guess my first question really would be, with you going through that, mm-hmm. what made you hold on to that information and not, you know, tell someone about it?
I think in the beginning, I was afraid to share it. I was afraid. I was also embarrassed to share that. You know, so it really took a long time to finally share it after it was all said and done. It took some time to share it.
Mm. Wow. So also, now they say this started off in high school. Now, was there just, like you said, jealousy and
yes.
and things of that nature? So mm-hmm. did he just kind of make you feel bad about yourself, or was he more controlling? Mm-hmm. And
yeah, very controlling. So in the beginning, I would say it was all good. And then it got to a point where, well, you know, if you left me, who would want you? You know, so mm-hmm. I think it was this big thing about when they figure out a way to isolate you from everybody.
Mm, right.
And it's just all about you and him. So, you know, a lot of those times I spent more time with he and his family, you know, during the holidays than I did with my own family at that time.
Mm.
But it was all about isolation, and I got to get her to this point where it's just about me.
So how was that connected to, and we kind of talked off. We kind of talked off air about my background and my upbringing,
mm-hmm.
and my connection to the domestic violence in general, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But how does everything you mentioned, the isolation, how does that speak to the code of silence? How does that build or feed into the code of silence?
It's pretty much, you know, it starts off with making you feel as if, you know, they love you so much, right? So they're kind of, I would say, almost kind of preparing you for it, so to speak. And then once you kind of get in that space where you're isolated, you're almost completely shutting down. So you might not have the courage to speak up. you know, it's just almost like, well, you know, that's who I love. This is all that I need. And if we're not talking about it, I probably shouldn't share with anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so real quick, if you got daughters, if you got young sons, sit them down right now. Turn this up, because we're talking real life today. There's a lot going on in this country, but this is what we deal with. These are some of the things that we deal with. And these are some of the things that your children in 4, 5, 6 years could possibly be dealing with. And if you take the opportunity to sit them down and start the conversation now, then maybe that's where we can start to impact this thing that's been going on as long as I've known, called domestic violence, right?
Absolutely.
We are speaking with Corliss Nichols this morning, a domestic violence survivor. This is Metro in the Morning. Grab your kids, call your granny, call your aunties. DJ Metro and Jay Blaze rocking it out this morning. Rock with us.
Ho! Brothers and sisters, I want to welcome you back to life. Back to the one that can make your next chapter your best chapter. Hallelujah.
How can it be that you love the most unlovable part of me? Of me. How could you see your life was the only gift I left for me to be free? It's amazing with you. Let's go.
savior.
I don't wanna love nobody but you. I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Yes.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Hey, welcome back to Metro in the Morning. Jay Blaze, DJ Metro, and Miss Corliss Nichols, who is a domestic violence survivor. I mentioned before we went to break, grab your kids, sit them down, turn the radio up if you're driving, grab your coffee, go call your granny, because it might be some information or an idea that you might get from this conversation, just in terms of, you know, reaching out to your people and having conversations with your people. So I mentioned that Corliss Nichols is here. She's a domestic violence survivor that we're talking to this morning. And we're talking about domestic violence and your story. And you mentioned off air that you just recently went public with your story.
Yes.
How did you do that?
Well, it was a Facebook Live back in October. And I wanted to, because October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Right.
I feel like that was a perfect opportunity to come out.
Okay.
So I ended up reaching out to a few people, was able to get a connection, and I'm like, let's go for it.
Okay. So for those that don't know, what is domestic violence? Like specifically, what is it?
I would, it's actually, when you have two people and domestically involved, whether it's a parent and a child, any kind of relationship, and there's violence involved.
Okay. So violence that comes out of a relational situation.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And what was it that made you, outside of Domestic Violence Awareness Month, was it just a point in your life where you said, okay, I'm not holding it back? And I think you mentioned that earlier. You just ready to come out, and Domestic Violence Awareness
right.
Month seemed to be the perfect time.
Time
to do that.
It was time. Yes.
How did your family respond to you coming or just talking about something that's so intimate?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I felt like the only person that I owed any explanation to was my mom.
Okay.
So before I actually came out, I told her what I had planned on doing. I don't think that she understood what I was really going to do, but I did share it with her and made sure she was okay with me sharing the story.
Okay.
And as far as my other family, I really didn't care how they felt about it.
Okay. So what advice would you give to a young lady who's been through similar situations and is contemplating or just trying to figure out how to deal with the emotions and the feelings and the memories and the experiences that have come from the domestic violence involved relationship that she was in?
Mm-hmm. I would say the first thing is, it's really important to find a safe place, so to speak, a safe haven, somebody that you can actually open up to, talk to, non-judgmental, and be able to just sit and kind of share your story.
Okay. So you got to be willing to talk.
Absolutely.
You have to be willing and open to talking.
Mm-hmm.
What was it outside of the... You said you were embarrassed.
Yes.
Outside of the embarrassment, was it mainly that kind of kept you quiet?
I would say yes, for so long. So kind of embarrassed and, just ashamed. And I guess kind of feeling like, I feel like I'm a good person.
Yeah.
So why did I have to go through that? Why did I have to suffer?
All right. So if you had your daughter right in front of you right now, what would you tell her about... How would you tell her how to deal with a domestic violence situation? Mm-hmm. And how have you built that? Because you do have a child.
You
have a daughter.
Yes, I do.
How do you build the things in her so she doesn't make kind of some of the same choices
right.
to get her in some of the same situations?
Right. And the first thing I actually told her, and I will tell any other woman, is that, if he hits you once, he'll do it again.
Okay.
It's just a matter of time. It may not happen that same day. It may be a week, but if he did it once, he's going to do it again. And, the most important thing is actually knowing those signs.
Mm-hmm.
So, we kind of go into these things blinded, and we're so in love. So we kind of avoid all these red signs, but those red flags that we ignore in the beginning would eventually be those issues we have to deal with in the long run.
So if you see it up front and you don't see it for a while,
yes.
You can expect that it's going to pop up.
Absolutely. And I would actually say that, it only gets worse. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get any better. It only gets worse.
So, Does that a situation like that, does that keep you from being in relationships years down the road? Or, and the reason I ask that, because I'm just a scenario that I had a bad car accident in Dallas, smashed in the back, you know, on the highway. I was scared to drive for 6 months. You know what I mean? So with that kind of trauma, how do you relate to guys? You know, I guess that would be, because I would be like, hey, get out my face. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm more aware now. So, you know, and my thing is, I'm not going to put up with any dysfunction. So it's kind of like, you know, I can spot some of those things from the beginning, and it's just like, okay, it's up to me to say, you know what? I'm breaking it right off. Like, you don't get the opportunity to go too far with anything. You know, and if you make me feel any type of way that I have to question, then it's just, I'm cutting it right off, playing no games at all.
So in your relationship with your high school, the guy, and he had you isolated. How did that isolation feel? Did you feel like you couldn't reach out to people during that time? And you said was that for 11 years that you were away? Is that, or am I just
no? So that was. Leaving high school and until my daughter actually turned 5 years old.
Okay.
So, and that's actually my daughter's dad. So, and when she turned five, that's when I finally broke it off and left.
Okay. So, what type of feelings besides, you know, him isolating you and things of that nature, and you got to a point where you had to get fed up, how stressful was it on a daily to get through the day?
It was pretty stressful. You know, in the beginning, once I broke it off, I figured he would just leave me alone, but he didn't. So I ended up moving out. I'm staying with my mom, but he would sometime come to the house. He would get drunk, come to the house looking for me, knocking on the door, knocking on the windows, or just calling like nonstop, back to back. So this went on for a long time. And I thought to myself, you know, he wouldn't show up at my mom's house. Like, I know you don't want her to know what's going on, because she didn't know for the longest time. But it went on for a while until, and then shortly after that, that's when I actually left Michigan and moved to Minnesota.
Okay, I got you now. I got you. Yeah, that has to be traumatic to be stalked in a sense.
Right.
You know.
After you tried to leave the situation.
Right.
Yes.
You know, I'm over here in my head, and the thing that kind of stands out to me, and this is something that I was kind of drilled into me, and I work in education, so I see it every day, and it's the behavior that's modeled is the behavior, you know, whether it's positive or negative. So as parents, we have to do a better job.
Right.
With our babies.
Absolutely.
We have to be more aware and more intentional of what we have our kids around, because that's what they're going to possibly lean into when they're older. And that's when you really, as a parent, can't do anything. You have to trust your parenting skills
that
they're going to make the right decision. So it's tough, but it's all about the babies, man. This is what life is about. You have babies, and you grow them up, and you protect your babies, and, you know, that's what we do. But you also have other projects that are connected to this. Like, when you said you stepped out, like, you stepping out with this.
Right, I am. So, coming up
on the other side of the break, we're going to get into a little more of what you're doing. We are talking with domestic violence survivor Corliss Nichols. Hang out with us, grab your kids. We're having a dope conversation this morning. This is Metro in the Morning, Jay Blaze and DJ Metro.
You're listening to Love 101 from the top of the world. It's a matter of fact, I think that you're amazing.
should never look back. I only want the best for you, and I respect everything that you've been through. Sugar, that's the way it should be. I'll never try to change who you are. Take a look around you. Tell me, baby, can't you see that I loved you right from the start? You wear the crown in my heart, girl, and you ain't gotta lie to me. You don't have to lie to me, girl, you ain't gotta lie to me. Girl, you ain't gotta lie to me. I'm ready to love you, babe.
I'm ready to love you, babe.
You don't have to change a thing. You don't have to change a thing. I already got the ring.
Yeah,
I'm ready to wipe you, girl. So baby, just roll with me. Let the wind hit your back. Step into the sun. What's done is done, and it's over when it's over, baby. Why don't we kick back and relax? There's nothing over our shoulder. I give him praise every day I can hold you. Baby, that's the way it should be. Mama, you're my shining star. Girl, I don't wanna live without you. There's nobody better in the world for me. And I love you just the way you are. You're like a dream in my arms, girl, and you ain't gotta lie to me. You don't have to lie to me, girl, you ain't gotta lie to me. You ain't gotta lie to me, yeah. I'm ready to love you, babe.
I'm ready to love you, babe.
You don't have to change a thing. You don't have to change a thing,
girl.
I already got the ring.
Got your ring.
I'm ready to wipe you, girl.
Hey, we back. Metro in the morning. Jay Blaze, DJ Metro, rock with us every morning, 7 a.m. Just hang out, get your morning coffee, bowl of grits, oatmeal, whatever it is that you eat, you know, toast and, you know, boiled egg, I don't know. All right, so we're rocking this morning with Miss Corliss Nichols from Benton Harbor.
Yes.
From Benton Harbor.
Tiger Town.
I got a question for you in a minute, but I'm going to hold on. Okay, all right, so. You're a domestic violence survivor, and we've been talking about your story, some of your experiences. You've mentioned to us things that you should look for in a relationship that's toxic or not healthy or that's leading to domestic violence. You just went public with your story in October.
Yes.
So since then, how has your life changed with you being so open and transparent about what your experience was?
Mm-hmm. I would say right now I'm free.
Free.
I'm free. And what I mean by that is that I'm no longer bound by those and limited to what I can and can't do. So I'm totally open to come out. I'm totally open to have a conversation.
Okay.
And some of the things that I've been afraid to do in the past, I'm totally open to do those things.
Mm.
So kind of out of this process, I've in the process of writing a book.
Okay.
Kind of slow writing, but I'll get there. And then I actually, I have a, what I call a creative way of talking and expressing myself.
Mm-hmm.
So what I like to do is actually share my daily thoughts
mm-hmm.
On Facebook as well as my website.
Hold on. You said website?
Yes.
What's okay. The address? Yeah, let's web address. What's the web address, please?
Let's talk about their website because I've been there. I've checked out the website and it's good.
What's the website? Let me pull it up.
It is www.breakingthecodeofsilence.com.
Yeah.
Breaking the code of silence. Now, is that where'd you get that term from? Is that something that's in is that a domestic kind of term, or is that something that people keep within their families?
Yeah, so I kind of started off the story with saying how there was a code, so to speak, in the household. Mm-hmm. So it was only just perfect to say, well, wait a minute, I'm breaking this code. Gotcha. So I'm no longer holding these secrets. It's about breaking the code, just opening, having, and starting these conversations.
Okay. Breaking the code of silence. Daily
thoughts.
Daily thoughts.
Yes.
Okay, daily inspirational, motivational.
Yes.
Kind of thoughts.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
He's like, okay.
So, if you get some time, breaking the code, BREAKING, breaking the code of silence.com. Check that out and get some more information on Miss Nichols. We talked early on, and I kind of told you. My experience in domestic violence, and my dad started a company when I was about 12 or 13 called Dominion Family Services. And what his goal was, his motto was impact or building families one step at a time.
Right.
So in terms of domestic violence, they dealt with the women and the kids, right? But there was no opportunity for the man outside of jail.
Right.
So what he did was he offered an opportunity for them to go through counseling and get some of the same same services and some of the same opportunities, or not opportunities, but just the same services as they, in terms of counseling, as the women and the kids.
Right.
And a lot of times some of those programs were 2 years long, 65, 67, 75 weeks long, 54 weeks long. And there was a tag attached to it, so they had to maintain everything within this program. But I watched and I've listened to stories about how things got to the point of domestic violence. So what I want to say to you is I commend you for coming out and being so open.
Thank you.
You are a powerful individual. Because you've owned and you're just rocking out, man. I know, excuse me for just going with the rocking out, yeah, but I mean, you're rocking out. Check out the website. Look into Miss Nichols here. If you have daughters, if you have sons, domestic violence is something that can happen right under your nose as a parent.
Right.
It's something that, your kids may not tell you about. If they're getting to the age of dating, make sure your kids are equipped to handle whatever it is that they need to handle, whether it's finding that job or whether it's dealing within that relationship, so they can be as successful as they want to be. But shout out to you for coming out and for being open and talking and hanging out with us on Metro in the Morning. Can't wait for the book.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys. And can I just say one last thing? I would say that, everybody may not take the same approach and come out and publicly speak, but we just have to get to the point where we're sitting at the table and having a conversation.
Yes.
So however that works out, just stop and just have the conversation. You know, we'll never, if we don't address these things, we'll never heal.
Right.
So, we just have these broken people continuing to have broken kids and everybody just walking around broken and dysfunctional. So my goal is just to start the conversation.
So does your entries on your website, is that also a self-healing kind of journey for yourself?
Absolutely. So the more and more I talk about it, it's healing for me. It's therapeutic, and I could sit and talk the whole day long. So all of my inspirational quotes.
That was another nugget. That was another nugget right there. Sometimes so, just talk.
Yep, that's it. Just like I said, just open, just start the conversation. And I consider myself as the conversation starter.
Okay.
So I don't care who you are, reach out. Let's just have a conversation.
And where can people connect with you outside of the website? How can they get in touch with you?
You can actually find me on Facebook. So I actually have a business page on there as well. I'm Breaking the Code.
Okay.
Send me a message and or email, and like I said, just let's just have a conversation.
Okay. There it is, right there, right here in GR.
You know, I had a thought that went left when she said went, have a conversation.
Okay.
And it was like, maybe if maybe we decided to have a conversation with the folks that stormed the Capitol last week. But then I stopped because we've been trying to talk to them for a long time and they ain't listening. So I pulled it back. I pulled it back.
Oh,
so that's okay on that situation.
That's too funny right there.
You know. But wow. Yeah, thanks for hanging out with us today, Corliss.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to the book and anything else that you do. Holla at us anytime.
We'll do.
You know, I think that information, the website, the book is going to be helpful to a lot of people.
Right.
I mean, I've been to the website, obviously. I've checked out the daily notations, if you will.
Right.
And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
So she's hitting on, or you're hitting on some really good points that will help anyone that reads it.
Right.
So hopefully you get a lot of traffic going to it. And once that book comes around, we'll have to get you back.
Absolutely. Yep.
Up here.
Yep. Absolutely.
So we can talk about the book. But I want to read that book before you come.
Okay.
So I can see what's really going on
right.
in your thought process and,
gotcha.
And the healing journey.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this. If you bought that Steve Harvey book, please log on to BreakingTheCodeOfSilence.com. Because you need to readjust your thinking and become more about
absolutely,
yourself.
Absolutely.
And I'm looking at some of your posts here, or some of your daily thoughts, and I'm like, oh,
yeah,
they reading Steve Harvey. This is what they need to be reading.
Right.
And, you know, and everything has to deal with either life in general or relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing I post, I haven't gone through it.
Right.
Okay. So if I share it, I've gone through it.
Dude, you said,
You know the light bulb just went off.
Right.
So
okay.
I'm gonna hold that one there. We're gonna keep that.
Wow. this has been really thought provoking, eye opening.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I mean, it's something that we were talking about it earlier. We all have things that we've dealt with, and you know, the way that you get over things that have caused trauma or that have caused issues within your life is you acknowledge them and you move forward from that point.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If I see a hole in my tire and I continue to drive that tire and I don't acknowledge that it's a hole in that tire, there's going to be more damage done with me driving that car with a hole in the tire than
absolutely.
If I just would have patched the tire up or got a new tire.
Right.
And it's the same thing in life. We have to acknowledge our issues, the things that we hold on to, the baggage that we hold on to.
Absolutely, yes.
Because until we let that go, you said the word free.
Right. Can't be free.
Can't be free if you're holding on to stuff that you know. And it my dad died, and that's something that I deal with.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let it go. He gone.
Right.
I got up the next day, and it was a beautiful day, and I was in my feelings because it was such a nice day, and I'm like, what the hell?
Right.
Life taught me a lesson that day.
Right.
You know, you can't hold on to things.
But you know, with that being said, I think that everyone has a story.
We do.
To tell.
We do.
You know.
Right.
We do.
Whether it's in the written form, verbal form, or what have you. I think we all have a story. We all have similarities going on.
Yeah. Right.
You know. And if we can connect, you know, to like people.
Right.
And get that information out and get those emotions out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can move forward.
Right.
And heal ourselves, you know, and one another.
I just had a brilliant idea.
And, you know, that just made me think of something when you talked about healing. So I said, you know, for the longest time, I put new bandages on old wounds.
Mm-hmm.
And until I got to the point and said, wait a minute, I'm not fixing the problem.
Mm.
I'm just getting a whole new box of bandages.
Yeah.
But until I address those things, they'll never heal.
Yeah, past job only lasts for so long, you know.
Mm.
I say go get all the old folks. Let's sit all the old folks down. Just put a name tag on them, put them in a divorce hall, and just call them out. Make everybody talk about everything.
Right.
But, you know, that just brings another thought to my brain
right.
is that we as a people, we don't pass down enough information
right.
about the family,
yeah.
things that went on and who is who.
Well, it's not until somebody laying in that box that we get to sharing stuff.
Right. Now you're trying to figure
out. A lot of the times that's too late because
they got that information.
They have the information. Right. And you may need, and this is something that you would also have to deal with, but you may need your release to come from that conversation with that person. Mm-hmm. Nobody else can give you that. But then you have to figure out how to deal with that if the person is no longer here. So, I mean, you know, that's why you sit down and you know, they say give people their flowers while they still here. Forget the flowers. Let's talk. Let's
you know, give me the beef.
Stop the call to silence. Let's sit down. Let's have a real conversation. Yeah, I love you, but why did you do A, B, C, D, and E back in 1967?
And then
we got to get that because it's affecting other people.
Right.
You know, it happens.
It does. And that's the thing. It affects more than yourself.
Right.
And they don't realize it. Mm-hmm. You know, the people that's doing the damage or whatever. Yeah. They don't realize how much damage that they're doing.
Right. Generationally.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, by keeping stuff in and not getting it out. And next thing you know. So it's kind of like what we're talking about now with the domestic violence.
Right.
It starts in one generation. That household sees what goes on as kids.
Yep.
They carry it on to their generation.
Right.
So forth and so on. Whether it's domestic violence or something else,
it
just continues on.
Learned behaviors,
right?
You know, in some instances, not in all, but you know, your kids are gonna do what they see you do, and you know, if I come home and bang my head, actually, you know what? Beautiful story. My son was 3 years old, and I broke my hand. I broke my hand in a specific way. No one was involved. It was something I probably should have thought twice about. But he was three. And he saw me do it. And he told on me. He told his granny exactly what happened. Dad did this. Bam, bam, bam. Ah. You need to go to the hospital, huh? Because my hand was swollen. I broke my hand. But they see you and they pick up. Now, I didn't think my son was, I should have known. I didn't think he was going to be able to take the whole story and like run it back like
he did.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Kids pick up. They're sponges. And what you do when they're young and throughout their development affects them when they get older.
Right.
And you know, we just got to be aware of our babies. We got to take care of ourselves.
Right.
Self-health is important. It's 2021. They done stormed the Capitol. People are going to jail and asking for organic diets. What the hell is going on?
That's funny.
I mean, like, so look, take care of your babies, man.
Keep
the house, the crib got to be tight. Just keep it tight because they tripping.
Oh, that is too funny.
Organic diet. He got his mama calling. The warden.
Because he won't eat.
He can't eat that food because he's used to an organic diet. And if he doesn't eat organic, you know, he's going to get really sick. Well, he should have thought about that before he decided to go live doing or executing a federal crime with a smile on his face. Like, maybe that should have been what you, like, man, if I go to jail today or tomorrow.
I just need to see what the punishment is.
Do they got or hey, look and see if somebody got an organic menu at the jail. No? Hey, man, we're going to have to postpone this. I can't. I need my organic whatever. I can't do it. Get me all backed up, you know, be hunched over.
Okay, he's going all. He's going all in now, dude.
Hey, his mama called. His mama 50, 60 years old calling about his diet because he done got locked up.
Wow.
So we can't be like that. That's not okay. I'm sorry.
That's
been bugging me for 2 days.
Well, you got it out. Look, you got that information out.
It's been bugging me for 2 days.
You got it out there. So once again, where can the people find you at Ms. Corliss?
So on my website, again, www.breakingthecodeofsilence.com, you can actually leave a message there and I'll respond. Or like I said, on my Facebook page, I'm Breaking the Code.
All right, make sure you guys check that out, breakingthecodeofsilence.com, Breaking the Code on Facebook.
Yes.
All right, check out Corliss Nichols. And it's Metro in the Morning. We rocking today. Hang out with us if you need another cup of coffee. Going to get it. It's okay.
No more wondering what. Hey, I ain't calling you
now. New Tony Braxton shit, baby.
Hey, hey, you don't get along. I'm sick and tired of it all. You can't take it no more.
Let's go.
Don't need to say you feel some kind of way. He ain't gonna change. If you take him back, it's gonna be the same. Just do what you need to do. Do what you need to do.
Come on.
Just do it, do it, do it, do it. Yeah, hey, do what you need to do. Do what you need to do.
Then blew it. I just tell him screw it. So much shit he put me through it. Yeah, I thought I knew it. How I got myself into it. Must have been that good sex. How he had me about to lose it. Lose it. It's gonna take more than a couple movies. Look at all this pain and I can cover all these bruises. Player, player, player. Yo, you need to cool it. If you say you love me, then you gon' have to prove it. Under pressure of a hat, like I told ya.
Yeah.
Don't you run and hide when I roll up.
Yeah.
You cheat on me, you get no love. You gon' be sad when you see I had enough. You gon' be sad when you see I had enough. You gon' be mad when you see I had enough, huh? Hey, yo, Tony, I don't think they gon' change for real, though. Like,
here we go.